Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
According to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, drug overdose death rates in the U.S. have more than tripled since 1990. That is an increase of 300%. These drugs were involved in nearly 15,000 overdose deaths in 2008, more than cocaine and heroin combined. Nearly one-third of people aged 12 and over who used drugs for the first time in 2009 began by using a prescription drug non-medically, finds the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or a young person exposed to this epidemic, you have good reasons to worry about the outcomes. So, if that is the problem, what's the solution? While we would all love to believe that just saying no to drugs will do the trick, the facts show that unfortunately this is just not the case. In business, we know that in order to effect change, we need to empower, mentor, and support our people, allowing them to grow their own wings and learn how to fly by making the right decisions. Not surprisingly, parenting, the raising of a child, is no different. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I am Chris Efesiou. My guests today are Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA, who would explain to us how to define the problem, how to find the solutions, and how Mentor Foundation approaches this issue. It is my pleasure to have them both with us today. Alexandra, Jamila, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Could you please tell us what the Mentor Foundation is and what it does and what its focus is?
Absolutely. One of the greatest global threats to the development of our young people, unfortunately, has been the youth and drug and substance abuse issue that has been unfortunately plaguing so many countries worldwide. I'm happy to share with you as well as the rest of the audience the fact that 18 years ago, our founder and president, Queen Silvia of Sweden, had actually worked in collaboration with the World Health Organization to establish an organization that was focused on the development of positive, healthy behavior for today's youth. One of the statistics that is very startling as well as very shocking regarding global facts around youth and health is that one quarter of all people living in the world between the ages of 10 to 24 years old make up the largest cohort in history, thereby representing an extraordinary opportunity to shape the world's social, economic, and health futures. When our organization was established by Her Majesty Queen Silvia of Sweden, she did so in relationship to the problems that were currently going on in Sweden in the late 80s and in the early 90s. What she had witnessed within her own country's walls and as well as in Stockholm was that there was a very startling rate of young people between that age demographic who were falling susceptible to that risky behavior. So that involved tobacco use, drug use, as well as having unprotected sex or other type of risky behavior. So in collaboration with the World Health Organization, Mentor was established. We are excited to report that since the inception in 1994, our organization has branched out globally, and we are represented in the following countries: Sweden, Germany, the United Kingdom, Lithuania, Latvia, Colombia. In Lebanon, we served, our headquarters in Lebanon serves 22 Arab League nations, and most recently, our organization has established our headquarters here in the United States. We also have a East African Federation, that works in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania as well. Our organization here in the United States is a little different when we talk about mentoring and when we talk about creating healthy opportunities for today's youth. We like to always share with people our tagline, which we're very proud of, which is reducing risks and increasing opportunities for today's youth. Our organization has worked to establish itself in three areas, in the areas of providing school-based mentoring, authentic career experiences, and outreach to and within the community, really tying in both the parents as well as some of the other other members within the business community. I'm going to allow my colleague Jamila Sams to talk a little bit more about the role that our organization plays here in the United States in just a second. But I also want to share with you that our organization here in the United States differs from some of our sister organizations, where we work to support that positive, healthy opportunity for today's youth by using mentoring in different manners or in different capacities. For example, if we look at what our sister organization is doing in Lebanon, they really are a best practice prevention and policy center. So working with the different 22 Arab League nations, they're working on things from a policy perspective. When we look at things with our organization in East Africa, our organizations have partnered with the National Olympic Committee to help those youth within those different countries be able to understand the role that performance enhancing substances play as being a very negative or risky path that they could be traveling down, instead of, you know, making sure that they're staying on the path to training correctly by not using those types of drugs. And then with some of our other organizations in Europe as well as in the Baltic nations, we really are working with both middle school age youth, high school youth, and partnering different members within the business community and other corporations and providing them with a one-to-one mentor. And then finally in Colombia, we've been working with the education system down there to introduce curriculum at the primary school level so that teachers are and other educators are trained about incorporating different curriculum into, or I should say different drug and substance abuse prevention into the curriculum. So kids as well as the students at all those different age levels, in addition to their parents, are really understanding why it is so important to start this message off at such a young age, that kids can say no to, you know, can say no to drugs, but understanding the ramifications that using some of these substances would have on their life, both now as well as in the future. So I'm going to stop at that point to transition to my colleague, who's going to share a little bit more about the role that we play here in the United States.
Thanks, oh, Alex. I'm sorry, Chris.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So in the United States, we're really looking to figure out what can we do to address the whole child. When we think about prevention, we think about empowerment, we really need to understand the needs and the culture of the youth that we're serving before we can start with any programming and any initiative. So what we did when we established ourselves here in the United States about 2 years ago is that we really looked to see what were some of the things, the negative statistics that our young people here in the United States were facing. And from a nation level, but then we also looked at it from a local level here in Washington, D.C. So we're working primarily with D.C. Promise Neighborhood Initiative, which is located over in Ward 7. And these are the statistics that we find our students are facing in Ward 7 do not look that different from statistics that you may find in other urban areas across the United States and even some of the rural areas. So what we're finding is that, 65% of the Latino students and about 63% of the African-American students aren't graduating on time. In addition to the very high unemployment rate, substance abuse rate, teenage pregnancy, all of these negative statistics are plaguing our students, nationwide. However, In this concentrated area in Washington, D.C., we're focusing our efforts because this is an area that is also in the process of being reformed. So our organization has started to provide services, particularly in Ward 7, in order to address some of these issues.
So that, it would appear... It would appear that this is a far-reaching problem, both in breadth and in depth. And if I may just refer to something that Alexandra had mentioned before, and just to make it more applicable for our listeners, she referenced the World Health Organization report that said that 2.6 million young people aged 10 and 24 die each year. Same report also said that 2/3 of premature deaths and 1/3 of the total disease burden in adults are associated with conditions that begun in a person's youth, such as tobacco use, lack of physical activity, whatever. That said, it is evident that substance abuse of any kind is both a social and an economic problem, among others, I suppose, and cannot be wished away. It must be dealt with the use of a multifaceted approach, such as that of mentors, but mostly the armamentarium, it must include a lifelong behavioral change. So it would appear that there are some habits of mind that lead to abuse, substance or otherwise, and until we intercept that cycle, we cannot gain ground. So tell me, what are some of the risk factors that parents or family members should be looking out for that lead their young children into that problem?
Absolutely. So one of the things that you would think is not very compelling, but is probably the strongest thing that leads to a lot of these risk factors is that young people really struggle with having a voice. And a lot of that is tied to the amount of time that some of the adults in their lives have for them. So, for example, a lot of the young people growing up in single-family households, it's not that that parent is not equipped to be a parent, but that parent may also be trying to make sure there's still food on the table and a roof over their heads. So their time to actually spend, that quality time, is somewhat diminished. When you go into a school setting, that young person is one person of a classroom. Typically, the average class size is 30. So they're one of 30. So, again, that ability for them to just have one caring adult to listen to them is something that a lot of our young people do not have. So a lot of times, you know, as you said before, we try to talk about what happens on the end product. We need to really address the root of the problem and start, you know, making sure the resources are there. So mentoring, of course, is a vehicle for that research, that resource. So definitely having an opportunity for young people to speak up and to speak to someone that cares about them is extremely important. A lot of our young people do not have someone to advise them on how to make the correct decisions, so they rely on external factors such as media, music, things they see on TV, their peers who aren't educated about the things they need to be educated about. So there is basically the blind leading the blind. So that's kind of where it starts, and then from there it kind of snowballs when you add all the other statistics and negative factors that come into play. So we use mentoring as a vehicle to provide that positive role model in that young person's life, because we all know that mentors can come in a positive form and they can also come in a negative form. A lot of our young people, unfortunately, are, you know, basically following people that are not doing the right thing. So
Without question. Let me just ask you to hold that thought there and take a quick break. My guests are Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Efesiou. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life. Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. Throughout this hour, I would look forward to hearing from you as to what's on your mind. So you can let us know by calling us at 1-866-472-5788 or emailing your questions to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Also, please visit our website, chrisfcu.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. Our Facebook page is Chris FSCU, and you can follow me on Twitter at Chief Daddy Officer. I'm Chris FSCU with my guests Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA. You do want to visit their website, mentorfoundation.org. Their Facebook page is Mentor Foundation USA, and you want to follow them on Twitter at MentorFN. Before we went on break, we were speaking about the fact that there seems to be a person falling into trouble, he has a propensity to fall into trouble. And my comment was that there appears that there are some habits of mind that lead to abuse, substance or otherwise, and that cycle needs to be interrupted, broken, if we are to make any headway on that. So I had asked my two guests to give us some tips or some risk factors first that we should be on the lookout for young parents who may have the propensity to fall into that kind of trouble, and then some tips as to how we can recognize those risk factors and what to do to seek help. So please, I'll ask you to pick up where we left off.
All right, great. Some of the things that we notice with some of the young people that we come in contact with, as I said before, is really difficult for them to have an opportunity to voice what they're going through. So oftentimes we notice where students are withdrawn. That's definitely a sign that there's some other things going on. And it's really hard to actually categorize everything because every single person is an individual. And although we have a tendency to make general statements and, you know, we categorize everything under mental health, one of the things we really have to start doing is looking at students as individuals and allowing them to voice what's going on with them in a safe environment. So that's something that mentoring brings to the table in order to give them that, you know, that safety net in order to actually express what's going on without any judgment and without any hesitation. There's plenty of risk factors that, and plenty of different forms of evidence that we see where a student is possibly, you know, heading down a direction where substance abuse is definitely going to be a factor, such as their grades slipping in school, some of the company that they're keeping with their peers. And I think as adults, we have to really step back and figure out, especially in this day and age of technology, what can we do to make ourselves aware of what our young people are going through? What can we do to set aside time to find out what's going on? What can we do to find out what their schedule looks like on a daily basis? You know, so taking all these things of instant gratification and technology out of the equation and just really getting back to the essence of building relationships with our young people and actually providing outlets for them that are positive as opposed to negative. A lot of the youth that we work with, unfortunately, do not have those outlets in their community. So therefore, those negative statistics continue on and we're not able to get to the root of the problem because we're not investing more positive options for them. So that is something that our organization is geared to do. We want to make sure that young people have a voice to talk about what's going on before it gets to the point where they're using substance, using drugs and alcohol, before they're dropping out of school and making poor decisions. A lot of the partners that we work with, a lot of them are coming from various corporations because we want to make sure we get the business community involved in what we're doing. And a lot of people that we talk to, once they become involved in our program, which is a corporate school-based mentoring program, a lot of those people are totally oblivious and they don't know about what's going on with a lot of our young people. So it's really an eye-opener, and it really takes a community approach in order to start to alleviate some of these things that the young people are going through, because if they see that this is a possibility for them, then that increases their motivation, that increases their self-esteem. And again, when those things are low, that's what's leading to the substance abuse and the negative outcomes.
Well said.
I was just going to say, and Chris, if I might add on, going back to your question, that Jamila has spoken to you about the risks and the variables and the factors that play into a lot of this risky behavior. I think it's also important to acknowledge the fact that there are resources for parents and for counselors and for educators and for other members who are a part of this communal village of helping to raise the child. From the child and the youth, I have always said that being a parent is one of the most hard jobs that you are going to have, if one so chooses to do so, in the world, where it's a 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You do not get vacation time from being a parent. And I think sometimes what we have found as well, because we, you know, not only are dialoguing and communicating with the schools in which we work with and the students in which we work with and the business community, but we also talk to the parents. And we have a very candid one-on-one conversation where we're listening to them. And it also provides them with a forum to have ask us questions. And at that point, we're able to direct them to whether it be our online resources and prevention tools. We have, through our website, mentorfoundation.org, a prevention smart parents tool that really works with the parents. It's like an online course that teaches the parent and the family about those different warning signs that Jamila mentioned, but also in terms of preventing drug abuse and having that conversation and starting to talk about it at a much younger age, because kids are being exposed to a lot of these different risky behaviors, like I said, at a much younger age than perhaps when I was a teenager and before I was a preteen. And at the same time, one of the other benefits that we have is we have a fabulous partnership with the National Institute of Drug Abuse, as well as a global scientific advisory of experts who are focused on what are the best practices when it comes to the areas of doing prevention work. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, when we're talking about, you know, how do we work together to really decrease the percentages of students that are dropping out of school and falling susceptible to, I would say, you know, not only risky behavior but very detrimental life-threatening behavior. It goes back to communication and education first and foremost.
And I would say that much of it goes back to the family because. You said before very correctly that parenting is a 24/7 kind of business, 365 days a year, no vacation, no time off. And that is what every parent signs up for the moment they decide to have a child, or that is what every parent should be signing up for.
Absolutely.
when they have a child. So to kind of take ourselves as parents out of the equation or kind of aside and find reasons for us not to be doing our job and then expect perhaps more of our children who are not necessarily equipped with the knowledge and certainly not with the life experience that their parents are, it probably is a little bit far-fetched, unrealistic. And it clearly does not work. If it worked, we would not have been in the situation we find ourselves in right now.
Exactly.
So, in my view, there is no mentor better than a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And every mentor, and being a mentor, being a leader, must lead and must mentor by example. Therefore, if we are giving that example to our child at home, we should be quite far on our way of avoiding those major rough spots. Why we are where we are is because that's not happening. And I was delighted to hear that there are resources for parents to tap into within your organization because I think that many parents need to be mentored before they can mentor their children, because I don't think any parent willingly overlooks the care of their child, whether that care is physical, emotional, or otherwise. Oftentimes, they overlook it because A, they don't know how they don't know that it is needed, or they do not know how to best address it. It's obviously a major question attached to a major problem. Our listeners are obviously tuning in, and we are getting questions from them that we will take right after the break. So please stay with us and with my guest, Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation. And you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris FSCU. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSCU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and is the co-founder of BR Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guests are Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sims of the Mentor Foundation USA. Before we went on break, I had ascended onto my soapbox and spoke of the responsibility of the parent to mentor and teach their child first and foremost and lead by example. But there's another side to that. The other side is that 400 children live with a parent or parents with drug or alcohol abuse problems. Is that the kind of parent you want mentoring your child? Question mark. And during the break, Jamila made a very good point of children who are actually not living with a biological parent, but with a custodial parent, such as foster care. And I will ask you to get a little bit deeper in that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So that when we think about the role of the parent, although how we value the role of the parent has not changed, and we do feel that the parent is absolutely the first teacher in a child's life, unfortunately, that's not happening as much as it did at one point in time in our nation's history. So, as you said, there's about 400,000 children that are living with a parent or parents with drug or alcohol abuse problems. So when we talk about mental health, when we talk about the cycle continuing, unless it starts with the parent, it's going to trickle down to that student unless there's some, or that child, unless there's some form of intervention. The same thing as it applies to foster care. These young people, in 2009, there was 423,000 young people living in foster care. So now we can't say that the responsibility lies on the parent because the parent's not there. So then we have to pick up the slack in terms of the society. So that's where your teachers come into play. That, again, that's where mentoring comes into play. That's where corporations and their employees come into play. We need to get directly involved with young people. You know, financial support is great. But I think it's more powerful when you have that role model with a young person, teaching them, helping them to become a better person on their own, in addition to exposing them to opportunities that exist for them. So part of our mentoring program is not just working on the psychological benefits of mentoring, so raising their self-esteem, raising their confidence level, that's great. But now that it's, you know, when we get them to a point where it's raised, we need to give them some activities and some opportunities to actually show that they're learning what they're being taught. So we actually have another layer to our mentoring program called Authentic Career Experiences, because we want to make sure that our young people are being exposed to various careers that are possible for them, of course, we're going to deal with, again, the psychological things that they're working with, but then we need to empower them because, again, we also find a correlation between unemployment and being having low skills in substance abuse. And that's one of the factors that their parents suffer from.
Absolutely. And I think that you probably just answered a question from our listener without even ever heard the question. The question comes from Heather from New York, and she says, are these at-risk youth directed to work outside of the school? What skills are they taught to interact in the workforce? It seems that it would be an important part of gaining confidence and self-esteem. And I believe in large part you answered that question. But what I would ask you to do is, if you have something to add to that, fine. But my rather request of you is, you use the word that in my mind is a tremendously important word, and that's the word empowerment. Define empowerment for me and how you use it as it applies to the young people.
When I think of empowered, I definitely think that young people need to be first and foremost aware. There's so many different things that are, so many different images that our students are inundated with on a daily basis. They need to be aware. They need to be aware of how to decipher all this information that's coming to them at a rapid rate every single day, whether they turn on the TV, listen to the radio, listen to their peers. They have to be able to decipher that. And that comes with education. Education in terms of an academic standpoint, but then education about what's going on in the world around them. And then from being educated, young people are then concerned. They start to really understand, this is what's happening in my community, this is what's happening even in my household, and they become concerned. Because without being concerned, you miss the last part of being empowered, which is action. So now that I'm aware of what's going on around me, I'm educated about what's going on around me, I'm really concerned, I'm passionate about making a change, that's what leads to action. And for our organization, that's what empowerment means. We want to make sure we're getting to the point where young people, we've given you the skills, take it, run with it. In fact, not only run with it, but reach behind you and grab another young person and bring them with you. So for us, that's what empowerment means. It means breaking the cycle. But you can't do that without education. You can't do that without addressing the root of the problem.
So if I could paraphrase your definition, would it be fair to say that empowering a young person is teaching them the right processes, the right stuff, if you will, for them to make appropriate decisions for their station in life?
I would definitely say, if I can substitute out the active verb there, it's not just teaching, Chris, it's equipping them.
Equipping
them with everything.
Well said.
Everything that you had just mentioned.
Wonderful. A new question comes to us from Joseph in Los Angeles. Joseph asks, at work and at home, it is important to develop leadership skills and working together as a team. In what way does Mentor Foundation foster this in their program? Are there businesses actively sponsoring this training and guidance? That's a very good question.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I said that's a very good question.
It is a very good question, and that is something that we've infused into our program. So we have a program called the Authentic Career Experience, where the first part of that experience is for us to give students the soft skills training that they need. They're going to need in order to go into the workforce, but more importantly is career exposure. So we provide them with the soft skills training, but then we actually provide an opportunity for them to visit a corporation, and they are involved in some type of interactive project where the business has identified some of the key areas where they even notice that their entry-level employees are lacking. So one of those is working as a team. So that's something that we work with the students so that when they get to that corporation, they're working on some type of activity, some type of project where they have to work as a team. And so that brings us back to why we call it authentic experience, because they get to see what it's like to actually use what they're learning in school in a authentic way. So the students are presenting whatever the project is that they're working on, and then they're actually defending their project to the employees of that corporation. So, for example, we took a group of architect students from one of the schools in D.C. here, and we matched them with an architecture firm here in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Those students had to actually create a community center as a group, and then they had to defend their community center to an authentic panel of architects. So giving them that opportunity, you're getting all the elements of mentoring. You're getting that person that's going to help guide you along the way to get to that point. You're also getting the opportunity to use what you're learning, and that's something that's really lacking as it pertains to our students not being ready for the workforce and for various careers, is there's a disconnect between what they're learning in school as it pertains to the textbooks and what's actually happening out there in the real world. When you look at the number of, there's about 51% in study that was entitled The Silent Epidemic. 51% of students dropped out of school because they were disengaged. They didn't like school. They didn't see the relevancy. So we try to bridge that gap. We give them the skills that they need, but then we also provide an opportunity for them to use it so that they can see this is what it looks like.
And, yeah. And that way they obviously get to see the fruit of their effort, and nothing is more convincing and more rewarding at the same time than to attempt to do something that perhaps previously you felt that you were not equipped to do, and then you use the skills, you use the avenues that you were equipped with, and now there it is, and you see it in front of you in practice. That's the greatest motivator, fuels a person regardless of age.
Absolutely. And I think also just, you know, to tag on to Jamila's point about the statistic that she just shared with the audience, is that we have to put this all into context, right? When we talk about mentoring, and the mentors are being asked by their mentees, well, what do I need to do to be getting to the level that you're at in your company? Or how do I get to the point where I'm driving around in an XJ8 car? What do I need to do, right? Those are the types of questions that we encourage the students in today's youth to ask, so that we can show them why it is that they are, you know, actually taking the model of being in school for 7-8 hours a day, that theory aspect of things, and actually making it tangible so that you can show, okay, this is A, this is how you get to Z. You can't skip all those letters in between. You actually have to go through all of those different steps and stages. And I think that that's really important because, for example, I serve as a mentor. And my mentee, her name is Fahira. She's 16 years old, and she's fabulous, right? And so every time that we have conversation and we talk about why it is that she needs to stay on this straight and narrow path because of all of these other environmental factors that have predetermined her as a high-risk young woman in today's society, she's able to ask me very poignantly and very explicitly, well, Alex, what do I need to do so that I don't fall into that risky, negative, category of young women that may fall susceptible to falling off the path? And so I think that that's really important that when we look at all of today's youth, they want to succeed. It's not that they want to go down this path and choosing drugs or choosing tobacco or alcohol and abusing those substances, but they want to succeed. They want to be able to know that they have a place in society, and society recognizes them as being a contributor to the next generation that's going to be teaching the generation that follows them.
So they need a plan to succeed.
They
need to have a plan, and nobody plans to fail, but most of us fail to plan. We'll talk
exactly.
More about that on the other side of the break. My guests are Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris FSCU. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a second.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be
50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guests are Alexandra Shade and Jamila Sams of the Mentor Foundation USA. Before the break, we were speaking about the importance of having a plan, a realistic and a practical plan to mentor the youth, and the questions that they often ask, which is the carrot at the end. What do I have to do in order to end up like that? And I dare say that this is not necessarily the thought process of a youth that is in trouble or potentially in trouble. I think this is the way children and young adults think of rewards or of the way that they want to arrive at success, however it is that they term success. And I know for myself, when I was a young boy, I was very much motivated by things. And my question of my parents was, what do I have to be able to drive a Mercedes? Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that at age eight was very important to me. Apparently it was even important to me in my mid-twenties when during a training class for a pharmaceutical company, we were supposed to be writing down goals, and 25 minutes into the session, I had a blank pad of paper in front of me and not a single goal down. Others had written several pages, taking copious notes, and, you know, looked like a Gantt chart the way they had it laid out. Trainer comes over me and taps me on the shoulder and says, having trouble? I said, well, I know what I want to do. I know where I want to be, but I can't really chunk it up into consumable goals that are realistic and attainable and measurable and so on and so forth. So just write down whatever comes to mind. And what I wrote down was this. I want to be successful enough so that by the time I'm 40, I can afford to drive the biggest Mercedes available in the market. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the stuff was consistent. Did I attain my goal? That's not important. The important thing The important thing is that that's how I was motivated. And I can tell you that if the motivator is there, it's there time and time and time again, you've got to do something about it. You have to feed it. And the best way to feed that motivator is to actually target it, point it to the right direction. We've got comments and questions coming in. A new question has just come in actually two questions that are fairly similar. Let me, in the interest of time, let me read both questions, and then I'll ask you to give an answer that I'm sure will apply to both. Question number one comes from Richard in Annapolis, Maryland, and says, my question involves business. Today and in the future, there's a shortage of skilled labor in the workforce. Are businesses actively involved in the Mentor Foundation, and in what way? And question number two is from Daniel in Fort Lauderdale that says, what is the best way for businesses to get involved?
Okay, I'll take your answer. I'm going to take this one. To address the two callers' questions, this is so important. Yes, we do have corporations and businesses nationwide who are, we are so thankful for their support. I think it's important to look at this from the context of what the International Labor Organization's annual report spoke to this past year in 2012 on the global employment revealed that 74.8 million youth aged 15 to 24 were unemployed in 2011. And with that being said, the young people were nearly three times more likely than adults to be unemployed. I think that's important because what we have found working with these corporations is that 28% of businesses cite the lack of experience as a huge barrier to actually hiring today's young people. I think as we are moving forward, it's important that we are continuing to address the fact that the soft skills of communication, critical thinking, and creativity are at the heart of what we are doing. That is a major component of working to empower these young people and to prepare them for the workforce. I'm very proud to say that we have amazing partnerships with international retail giant H&M, as well as with American Express, M&T Bank, Accenture, Skanska, and several others that, due to the limited amount of time, I can't go through them. However, there is always a need to involve more corporations with our programming, whether that be becoming involved as a mentor and mentoring a young high school student, or if that's being able to open up your doors and provide an opportunity for a small cohort group of students to come in and participate in this ACE opportunity, or perhaps to even host some type of parenting workshop for the employees within your company so that they are aware of some of the trends and risky behaviors and substance abuse epidemics that are going on either at a regional, local, or national level.
Great ideas. And I personally would very much want to learn more about your activities because I want to be involved in whichever way possible, because your work effort is worthwhile, and nothing is better and more important than just not wasting a young mind. And I'm chuckling a little bit in the background because I just got a question from Jennifer in Houston that says, Chris, did you reach your goal that you had as a young boy and as an adult?
Great question.
Jennifer, I am pleased and proud to say that, yes, I have. I am going to have to make this the last comment, and we have almost run out of time. Alexandra, Jamila, thank you so very much for your time and insight, and I hope that you come and visit us on the show sometime in the near future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Tune in next week when my guest will be Maria Bailey, and we'll discuss how to run your home as efficiently as a business. Maria is a mother of four. She's the CEO of BSM Media. She's an author of numerous Marketing to Mom books and the host of a nationally syndicated radio show, Mom Talk Radio. Maria and her husband found success and normalcy at home by running it as a business. Please join me next Thursday, 3 p.m. West, 6 p.m. East, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. I am Chris Efesiou. Let's talk more next week. I'll see you then. So long.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.